Would you please turn to Acts chapter 21? Prior to going on holidays and going through the book of Acts, I have to finish that this year, okay? I've got some things I want to do next year, and so it's got to finish. So wherever we end, we're ending. It doesn't matter if we get to the end or not, I'll endeavour to do so. But if you can cast your mind back quite a long time, we were up to where Paul had finished three missionary journeys and he wanted to get to Jerusalem for the Passover. As he travelled down towards Jerusalem, there were prophets coming consistently to him, telling him that if he went to Jerusalem, he would be bound in chains. Yet it wasn't going to stop him. He wanted to go there. Foolishly or not, I don't know. I'm not going to judge him in that. But he still wanted to go. And so he arrived at Jerusalem. And he went in. He saw James and the elders. James was very worried how the Jews would respond when they saw Paul, because there had been a lot of things going around about him that weren't true, but the Jews believed that it was true. And so he came up with this great idea to appease them. There's these other men that are going to do a special vow to God and cleanse themselves, and why don't you join in with them? And so when the Jews see that you're happy to submit to their authority and you're not despising the ways of the Jews, well, hopefully that'll make them happy. And we got a little bit past there, but I want to start there when it comes to just reading God's Word as a Bible reading, and then also getting into where we're up to next. And so that brings us to verse 26 of chapter 21. And it says, from verse 26, "Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, 'Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place.' For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating off Paul. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing, some another, among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came up upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, 'Away with him.' And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, 'May I speak unto thee?' Who said, 'Canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian, which before these days madest an uproar and ledest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?' But Paul said, 'I am a man which am a Jew, of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people.' And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people, and when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue saying? We'll leave it there for now, and we'll pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for all the blessings you have bestowed upon us. Thank you that we can come and worship you this evening. Thank you for the young people of our church. Thank you for everyone that makes our church what it is today. And I pray that, Lord, as we come and consider this man, Paul, and the things that you did for him, that it will be a good reminder of the things you have done for us as well. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so that's pretty well where we got up to last time before I went on long service leave. Paul was at the temple, at the steps there, and he asked if he could speak to this crowd that wanted to kill him. He started to speak in the Hebrew tongue. They all went silent to listen to what Paul had to say. Question is, what was he going to say after they had just been beating him? Was he going to say, you're all dirty, rotten sinners and God's going to judge you for the way that you've been treating me? Well, that might be how some of us might reply. Or was he going to love them enough to point them to Christ and share the gospel with them? What was he going to tell them? Well, as we read on, we will discover that he wanted them to hear the gospel. That was more important than getting justice for himself, which is very good for us to keep in mind, particularly when people take it upon themselves to make life miserable for us simply because we're Christians. They're not the enemy. They actually need to be saved from the enemy of their soul. But Paul shares the gospel. And I'm not sure if this was the prompting of the Holy Spirit or just the wisdom of Paul, but we do notice through the book of Acts that he had this knack of assessing his audience and preaching the gospel in a way that would relate to his audience. When he went into a city and he went into the synagogue where there were those well-educated Jews, he would look to their scriptures, the Old Testament, that they knew thoroughly, and he would convince them from the scriptures that the Messiah needed to die, and then he would rise again, and how Jesus of Nazareth fits this prophecy or these prophecies perfectly. And so that's how he would introduce Jesus to them. Yet when he was in Athens preaching to people who were obsessed with knowledge and a multiplicity of gods, well, then that really wouldn't have fitted them because they weren't learned in the scriptures of the Jews. Yet he knew that they loved hearing stories about gods and so on, and so he introduced to them the true God, the one who made them, the one that they didn't even know about, the unknown one. And there he introduced Jesus as well. Now he's facing an angry crowd that wanted to kill him because he was a Christian. And he shares the gospel in a different way. This time he shows them how he was just like them once until he met Jesus. And Jesus changed everything. And what we see here is it is important. It's the same gospel, but there are various aspects of the gospel that we can use to relate to people that might catch their thoughts and their intent to want to listen. And as we see here with Paul, often he used his testimony, and that can be one of the best ways to share the gospel with people, sharing how you met Christ and what Christ has done for you. You know, people may want to argue about, is there a God, or is there a heaven and hell, or if Jesus is real, or if he was the Messiah or the Son of God. Yet it's very hard to argue against what you express has happened in your life. They might think that's a little bit odd, and they might scoff at it inside, yet it's hard for them to refute what has happened in your life. And Paul did that many a times. And as he stood there on these steps and addressed this crowd, he shared his testimony. And I want this to be a good reminder that we all should have a good understanding of our testimony so that we can use it when we need to relate to someone. and encourage us that we can use our testimony as a form of sharing the gospel. But I want us to see what he put in his testimony here at this time when he was up against a crowd that wanted to kill him. We see here, first of all, when we get to chapter 22, verse 1, he first of all shares his upbringing to them. It says, from verses 1 to 3, "Men, brethren, and fathers." I'm guessing there was women there as well, but he doesn't seem to mention them. "Hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you." And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day." And so he gives them, first of all, a little bit of a background of his upbringing. He shares with them that, hey, I'm a Jew just like you. Yes, I was born in Tarsus, but I grew up here and I was taught the very same things you were taught. And so he wasn't some stranger from another part of the world that didn't care about their ways. No, he was someone that cared very much. "I was just like you." You know, sometimes that's all someone needs to hear for them to really want to listen to your testimony. Now, we all have different testimonies. And don't think that because yours is not like someone else's, it's of no value. There will always be someone that will be able to relate to your testimony. And when they know that, hey, this person's like me, then they want to listen more. It's just the way we are. And so he says, "I'm just like you. I grew up here in Jerusalem." And then he shows them, explains to them his way of life before he was saved. It says in verse 4, "And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women." And so Paul explains to them that he certainly was just like them. He had the same attitude towards Christians as they were having this very moment towards him. He grew up as a Jew in Jerusalem, and he was zealous of the ways of the Jews. And he persecuted this way, that is, the Christian way, zealously, to the point where he would drag them out and put them to death. And so he wanted to kill Christians just like they wanted to kill a Christian that very same day. He thought that he was doing God a favor in getting rid of these Christians. And so he understood how they felt, and he understood how they were thinking right then. You think you're doing God a favor. And when you share your testimony with the unsaved, it's good for them to understand where you came from. What you thought about Christianity. For some, you're going to say, a lot of us, you're going to say you just thought it was just a way of life, maybe, because you grew up with it. For others, you might have thought it was really strange. Very strange, this Christianity. For others, you might have thought that it didn't make sense at all. Or you scoffed at it and you really hated it. Everyone has various aspects of what they thought of Christianity prior to meeting the Lord Jesus. And if you know you have the same background as the person you're speaking to, make sure you tell them. As I said, it's a way of connecting. Then Paul explains how he met Christ. Verses 5 to 10, he goes on and says, "As also the high priest doth bear me witness." And so there were older men there that would have known Paul as a young man, this zealous Pharisee. "And all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And so he shared with them, I was brought up like you, I hated Christians like you, but then I met Jesus. Now, there would be no one else that would be able to say, hey, that's how I met Jesus too, I'm guessing. That is a very rare way of meeting Jesus. But there would have been many Christians in those days, when they shared how they met Jesus, people could relate to. I'm sure many would have said, you know, I was in the synagogue worshipping like I had every Sabbath day, and then this man, Paul, turned up. He opened the scriptures and he showed me how the Messiah had to come and die and rise again, and how Jesus of Nazareth fits this perfectly, and I realized that he is my Savior and I trusted Christ, and so on. Others might have said, I was walking down to the marketplace and there was a big crowd and there was someone talking, and I went and I heard about Jesus. There would have been many testimonies that people could relate to. And today it is the same. And there are all different testimonies. I'm at work. This odd person, a Christian, started telling me about Jesus. And I heard how I needed a Saviour. Or I went to the letterbox, found this little tract, told me what I've been waiting to hear. Or I was on a business trip, and I was bored, and there was that Bible next to the bed. So I picked it up, started reading it, and I heard about Jesus. Well, there was a girl I really liked in high school, and she asked me to come to youth group. And so I went, and I heard about Jesus. I got saved. I've heard all those stories. When I was on holidays, we went up to Coffs Harbour, and there was a young fella. Well, he's probably in his late 20s now, I guess. He seems young. I had a fair bit to do with him when he was young. Yeah. Before I came here 12 years ago. Yeah. But I said, how did you get saved? I can't remember. His name's David Duffy. And he said, oh, there was a lady called Elaine. She's in the church there still. And she was witnessing to my mum. And his mum was a drug addict. And she was witnessing to her, and she gave her a tract. And mum took it home. And I came home one day and I just saw this tract on the kitchen table. So I picked it up and started reading it. And he said, hey, that's what I need. And I asked the Lord to save me. And he just so happened to be going out with a girl whose brother, Mitch Crockett, had got saved recently. And so he started asking him about things and so on. And that's how he came to our church. And so just different stories of how someone met Jesus. I wonder what your story is. For me, it's not, well, I was just at work one day and I came across a Christian. No, I met Jesus when I was very young. And I'd like to say my parents introduced me to Jesus, but if I'd have to go back in my memory bank, it was probably my Sunday school teacher that introduced me to Jesus. That's the earliest I can remember. Hearing about the Lord Jesus. Each circumstance of when we met Jesus is important. Trust you know when you met Jesus for that first time and heard what he did for you. Well, he tells them about that. And then he tells them about the first Christian he really met. Now, when I say met, I'm sure he met plenty and beat them up and had them put to death. But this is the first one he actually met with a heart to learn. And we read that in verse 11 onwards. It says, and when I could not see for the glory of that light being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. So here's a man where, if circumstances had been different and he hadn't met Jesus on that road, he would have gladly grabbed him and dragged him back to Jerusalem and had him put in prison and hopefully put to death. Ananias. Yet this man was willing to come and talk to him and help him and show love that he did not deserve. And here he saw the love of Christ in a Christian. Maybe not for the first time, but the first time where he was willing to really think about it. In Paul's life, we have a amazing testimony of love through this man Ananias that showed him God's love to him. And don't forget that your testimony of when you came across Christians is important as well. I wonder when you first came across Christians and how you observed them. As I said, I came across Christians at a very early age. But what my testimony is, I grew up in a home where there were Christians and I knew they were different. That's the key. They weren't just different in public, they were different at home. They were the same wherever they were. And I knew that what my mum and dad had was real. Regardless of what I thought of it, I knew it was real. And that's a good warning for every Christian parent. Make sure that your faith is real, not just in public, but in the home. It could be the difference between your children getting saved or not. Make sure it's real. And so he saw real love by a real Christian, and it changed his life as he goes on. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Now this doesn't give all the example of a changed life, but what we see here is what he was like. He was someone that wanted to kill Christians, and now he was willing to identify as a Christian, and he wanted to tell others about this Jesus as well. He had a changed life. And if you have a testimony of a changed life, use it. Not to glorify sin, but to glorify Christ. I was heading that direction until I met Jesus. And he changed me. And then everything changed. And then I started going this way. That's called repentance. Repentance unto Christ, God. Show that. And that's what Paul did. Now, what we read next should give us some real encouragement. You know, if you grow up in a Christian home and you get saved when you're five and you sort of go through all those times, am I saved or not saved? And then you finally get to teenage years, yes, I am saved, and you grow in the Lord. And you go, oh, do you want to share your testimony? It's not very exciting, you know. And if I'm saying here, you can use your testimony to share the gospel, you think, well, mine's not very exciting. You know, but you hear a testimony of someone that was in the depths of sin and misery, and then they hear the gospel and their life is changed. Like we hear of Mike Coughlin's testimony, and think, now that's a testimony that's going to do some, it's going to touch hearts, and people are going to be changed. Mine's nothing. But we see here that Paul's testimony, as amazing as it was, a Jew brought up in Jerusalem, killing Christians, then he hears Jesus and is changed. You think, boy, everyone's just going to fall down and worship God and want to get saved when they hear this. Yet we read in verse 22, and they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. Well, that's not what you're expecting. You know, surely you think, wow, we want this Jesus like you have. No, they said, get rid of him. He shouldn't be on the earth. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know whereof they cried so against him. Now that's confusing, but it is encouraging. See, when you share the gospel, share your testimony as you share the gospel, don't think you've said something wrong or you got it all wrong because someone doesn't say, oh, I need to be saved. We don't know what they need. As we know, sometimes it's just planting a seed, sometimes it's watering, sometimes it's reaping. You would like to think there were some who at least Paul planted the seed, and then later on someone watered it and they got saved. But Paul, even his amazing testimony, didn't bring repentance to the majority, if not all. And so we can be encouraged by that. But he did use his testimony. Two questions to finish with. Do you know your testimony well enough that you could share it with someone and use it in a manner to share the gospel? Secondly, do you have a testimony? Could I ask anyone here, as scared as you may be, come up and just share when you met Jesus and when you asked him to save you. If you can't do that, maybe it's because you don't have a testimony and you need to do that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that that gift of salvation is freely offered to all and given to all who will call upon you in faith to save. And I pray that, Lord, each one of us will have a testimony, will know it well enough to be able to share with others. And I pray that, Lord, we will give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.